Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening, you are in the Spirit Lounge, but we are missing the Pom, so you just have Joy the Priest and Andrew the Poof with you.
Hello, Pom. Hi, Pom. We miss you.
We don't know where she is, but we miss her anyway.
She's off gallivanting. She's always off gallivanting.
Love the new intro, Poof.
Oh, thank you. I just threw that together, put it all in the blender. I took a couple of songs from various places, chucked it in the blender, and that's what came out.
Fabulous.
Actually, well, I wish it was that easy.
Okay. And it's a thank you to White Noise and... He's going to be going now to have a little drink because he was in a pancake competition today. So we're going to talk a little later about why people eat pancakes today. But that's later in the show. Tonight, very exciting. We pre-recorded an interview with a gorgeous Scottish singer-songwriter called Horse. And yes, we will find out why on earth she's called Horse.
When I read your briefing sheet, I thought, oh, we're going to interview Horse McDonald. I wonder who that is. Had to hunt around on Google, but eventually did have some success. And she's an amazing singer.
I know. And she's a fabulous woman too. We really enjoyed talking with her. But exciting news, we have a competition.
We got a prize. We never get prizes.
I know. Horse gave us a DVD called Horse Live at Queen's Hall, and it's got 21 wonderful tracks, and she's actually signed it too. So I don't know if that makes it more valuable.
Of course it does. We had to really hunt around for that texter. It's definitely more valuable.
We think it's permanent, but we're not sure. So
we hope it wasn't a whiteboard marker. Sorry, guys.
Exactly. If you want to enter, what we want you to do is, during this interview, Horse talks on various occasions about the spirituality of music. And personally, I find that there are some tracks that, for me, really speak to my spirit. So we want you to SMS, phone, email, and tell us what tracks and who the artists are that really speak to your spirit. And you'll go on the draw to win that wonderful Horse Live at Queen's Hall DVD. How do they contact us?
You can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, or phone in and speak to Jerry. It's on 1300 Joy 949, or you can email direct into the studio, which is onair@joy.org.au.
And we're also going to continue to run this competition next week, so it'll be drawn at the end of the show next week. So get your tracks in, and we will try in the next few weeks to also play them. Now, we're going to start with a track from Horse, and this is called The Speed of the Beat of My Heart. And we were going to start with that.
Sorry, I lined up the wrong one. We might start with Heaven. Is it okay if I start with Heaven, Priestie?
No. We need to
See, she always tells me what to do. It's not fair.
We want to start with a Horse track. I get these nice playlists ready for you, Mr. Poof.
All right. I might be able to do it for you. Just this once, though. Just this one time. Just this one time.
Thank you, Mr. Poof.
We're sorted out now.
Okay, here's Horse with the speed of the beat of my heart.
So you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we have with us in the studio Horse MacDonald, one of Scotland's all-time great vocalists, born in the Scottish fishing village of Anstruther in the Kingdom of Fife, no less. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Scotland, that's not far from St Andrews. Horse's love affair with music began when she was given a guitar on her 10th birthday. Her debut album, The Same Sky, reached critical acclaim and remains timeless today. Her music's been described as a cross between indie, soul and pop. Horse has toured with the music greats such as Tina Turner and B.B. King, and her music has a cult following all over the world. Now, 8 albums later, with 25 years of singing and songwriting, and also now owning her own record label, Horse is back touring in Australia, and she's here in the studio with us. Welcome.
That's some introduction. Welcome. I'll not do my Australian accent because it's rubbish.
Now, Horse, I need to start by asking you about your name. Okay, we did promise we would do this. And we notice on your website that you have an image of a seahorse. So are you named after a seahorse or a horse that runs around the racetrack?
No. As you'll find as we go on, my stories are very long, so you'll just have to kind of get me out of here once, if I go over. Yeah, when I was a kid, I hated being a girl, really. I think that's the bottom line. And I started maybe when I was 10 or 12 going to the stables, and I said, oh, just call me Horse. And Horse, and people were like, no, I'm not going to call you that. And then it stuck. So that was fine. But then we had the issue of being attached to the image of a horse is not very flattering for anyone, really. So when we were doing the first album, we were looking at all of the different logo types that we could have. We struck on the seahorse, especially because basically the male seahorse gives birth. So it's the same kind of mechanisms as usual, except the male stores the babies and they grow up and then they sprout forth. So we thought that was a really nice mix.
I quite like that idea, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's fabulous.
So it doesn't mean to say that I'm a male seahorse or a female seahorse. It's just a really nice image. I think it's a beautiful creature.
It is a beautiful creature.
And hopefully that's like me. see what I did there?
This is radio, not television.
Okay, well, did you hear what I did there?
Now, Horse, you were raised in Scotland, of course, in the wee fishing village of Anstruther, and then I think you moved to Lanark, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about your upbringing in Scotland. Was it significantly religious, or were there spiritual influences? Or
I wouldn't say it was significantly spiritual. I had a bit of a hard time when I was growing up. I think lots of people have when you're of my persuasion. our persuasion? Was that presumptuous? No.
Yeah.
I think when I was I've always felt perhaps that I didn't fit in. And I suppose I seemed to other people to be the only gay in the village, which I obviously wasn't. But I was the only one who was never in to come out. And I had a bit of a hard time. I used to get chased by gangs and pretty awful stuff like that. And there's nothing like that for kind of, you know, building a framework for the rest of your life of trying to escape from that or making yourself harder or more immune to things like that. So that's the sort of background. My mum and dad had no awareness whatsoever of what was happening to me. And so that's the sort of background to it, I guess.
How young were you when you came out?
I never actually came out because I wasn't really in. I just kind of stumbled across who I am. I was very androgynous. I think that was like the best way to be because I didn't want to be a girl. I thought I wanted to be a boy. And now I have no idea. I'm just me. So I guess that's the only thing you could say, really, that I just try to be myself now. And I say to other people, be yourself. And you have to allow yourself to grow into whatever you're going to be.
That's good advice.
Mm. So how did your parents cope when they finally realised?
Well, I think when I said to my mum, I'd like to have a sex change, when I was about 13 or 14, was a bit of an eye-opener for them. And I said, don't tell my dad. And that night, when I came home from school, my dad put his hand in my shoulder and he said, you're going to the doctor. And I was like, oh, no, he knows. And I went through various tests. I went to psychiatrists, all sorts of stuff like that. I guess, I know I like to pretend I'm not very old, but in those days, I mean, you're talking about, I don't know, the early 70s.
Yeah.
And that would have been like, oh, my God, right, we'll do all these tests and then see if you fit into this box. So, yeah. Which I didn't.
Yeah,
so.
No, growing up in, what part of Lanark did you move to?
Well, Lanark is a specific town in Lanarkshire.
Right.
Which is, I think even Glasgow counts as part of Lanarkshire.
Yeah.
So it's a small town, maybe population of, I don't know, 15,000, 20,000, something. It's quite a small town.
But yeah, Scotland in the early 70s, you know, wasn't dealing with that kind of stuff at all.
No. Yeah. Surrounded by mining villages and quite working class. And I used to spend a lot of my time with the bad boys, the bad gangs, because I felt like it was better to be with the scary people than encounter them and face them head on. So yeah. It was a good psychology for the most part.
So you're one of the lads.
Well, sort of. So but we could go into even greater detail, I guess. But it was a real shock for my mum and dad. And we never really talked about stuff. I was sent to I was packed off to a psychiatrist and
to see if you could be cured.
Yeah, and it was this real stereotypical image, lying in the couch and with the arms and the chair were all scraped and rubbed through. The psychiatrist was at least a foot taller. That you know, his chair was higher.
Oh, no.
And he looked down, he pince-nez at me, and what did you dream about last night? I thought, well, I can't tell him about the gun. It was just so stereotypical. I was then sent off for psychology tests. And so basically the test came back and said I had the kind of typical mindset of a young teenage male of that age. And I thought, yeah, right, well, I could have told you that. I mean, anyone could have gone through that test and got to that point. But anyway, I could go in greater detail, but That's the beginnings of my wondrous journey.
That's the beginnings.
The beginnings of your biography.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've got a book in the making here, haven't we?
Exactly.
This singer-songwriter lived in Aberdeen for a long time and she's just moved south because she's doing extremely well. Her name's Emily Sandy and this is an amazing track called Heaven.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Poof and the Priest and the Pom's off doing something else.
She's off gallivanting. I'm tipping she's probably drinking some red wine.
No, not our Pom. And we've received a message from Lisa from Woman on Waves who said she's loving the show, Andrew and Joy. Thank you, Lisa. Now, we've got this competition. You can win the DVD, Horse Live at Queen's Hall. All you need to do is SMS on 0427 Joy 949. You can phone on 1300 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. And if you've got that app thingy, Bob, whatever it is, just press whatever the button is that you press.
So in the Joy app, there's a contact us button. Hit that.
And let us know what music, what track for you is really speaks to your spirit, and you can win that wonderful DVD. So don't forget to send in your entry. You must be a Joy member, of course, and have not won a prize in the last 2 weeks. And Andrew, you cannot enter, so don't ask again.
I wanted to enter.
I know you want to enter, so do I, but we can't. Okay, we're going to have the second part of our interview that we recorded earlier this week with Horse McDonald. Would you consider yourself spiritual?
Now I would say absolutely, more than ever, absolutely. Because in that intervening period between that and where I am now, a huge amount of things have happened to me, to people I've been with, to my family, that have made me the way I am. And my escape at the point where all of that aggression and fear came from, I began to write. And I guess in a Scottish way, the only way to escape poverty and hardship was to become a footballer or a pop star. So in a very kind of vacuous way, I decided I wanted to be a pop star.
You're not good at being playing football?
I've got the legs, actually. But no, never fancied it, really. And actually, I wouldn't say I was particularly a good singer, but I did used to sit in my bedroom and sing and write songs like Nail the Coffin, He's Dead. They're pretty crazy songs. And I could hear my mum coming up the stairs to hear me because she'd go, what are you doing? And I would go, no, I can't have you near me. And you'd hear her sneaking up the stairs and I'd go, go away! Which is such a shame, really. I started to sing to get myself away from things. But I've always liked to do things in a different way from perhaps other people. I always wanted to be unique. I always wanted to stand out from the crowd.
But you also, apart from being a footballer, you were quite keen on art, weren't you? Weren't you going to pursue art as a career?
I could parallel with doing music. I was studying art and I eventually did do art as a job. Well, design, art. So
yeah.
But I loved that. I'd love to go back to that because I did sculpture as well at college.
Always so can.
I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah. Liked bodies. Oops, did I say that?
You've got a huge following in the UK. How have you found the Australian audiences and people?
Well, we've only just... I mean, last year we came and we did Wesley Ann here. We're back to do Thornbury 24th. The response was amazing. And we did a show in Perth just recently. And one woman who is actually English and who lives over here said... Yeah, yeah. She said before we started, she came round and caught us. We were going between places. And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, I saw you at such and such a place. And she went, yeah, you're looking forward to the show. Afterwards, she went... I was blown away. And I was like, but you've seen me before. She'd be, yeah, but I was absolutely blown away. So I don't know what's changed again between then and now, but the crowd loved it, really, really loved it. Yes. I think the element of what you were talking about being spiritual, the songs now as well are deeper, and in the performance, I've opened myself up a lot as a performer. So I think people are really catching that when I sing, and especially in this kind of format where there's just a couple of us performing. And I really, really want them to like what I'm doing.
Do you play gigs outside of the UK a lot?
No, no, not at all. I mean, originally we came over here because I was invited to perform for somebody over here. And we thought, let's do a show as well. So we flew over to Melbourne because Joy's been very supportive over the years and played music. So it seemed only right that we come here and sort of go, right, OK,
yeah, no,
let's
cool.
do a show.
Because yeah. Women on Waves, which is on a Saturday morning, plays a lot of your music.
I heard that you were flying from Perth, Scotland to Perth.
Last year Australia. We did that. It was really cool. I mean, how many people get to say that? Except we go Perth. So we would have flown from Perth to Perth.
I much prefer the Scottish version of Perth, I must say.
That's it, yes. Well, I would say that too, wouldn't I?
Now, most of us in this room, apart from Andrew, Mr. Pufter, who's a young wee laddie, we're... born in the 60s, late 50s, 60s, and grew up in the 60s, 70s. Fantastic time for music, the 70s, 80s. Who were the artists who, while you were just starting out and writing songs, who were the big influences for you?
God, I could tell you lots of stuff. I think there is a lot of stuff which is subliminal that you're not even aware of that's part of the framework. But I know that when I was five, I loved the Troggs. I know that because I came across a little tiny, tiny jotter with a drawing I'd done. And I loved, it's a song called I like the Way You Dance, something like that. A very simple song, but that stuck in my brain. And there's kind of key tracks that I've remembered over the years. 70s, a lot of fantastic music. I remember distinctly when Joan Armatrading came on Top of the Pops, and I wasn't even looking at the television, and my head must have turned round so many degrees, because that was such a great song and so unique for its time. And I followed Joan Armatrading for a while, so I'd say she's been a big influence. I didn't know that she was gay. I mean, maybe the gaydar might have gone off.
And you've mentioned also Tracy Chapman, but in the same sentence you've said the pain of Tracy Chapman. Why do you think she was in, or maybe she still is, in pain?
I don't think she is in pain. There's a real pathos comes from her music, a real darkness, which I really, really like. Mm. And people have compared me to her, actually.
Because she was hailed as the new Joan Armatrading, in a way, you know, when she first hit the scene. Because it was quite melodic, it was quite ballady, wasn't it?
Very dark,
yeah.
But I like that. I do things when we rehearse with the band. I'm as a songwriter, as a songsmith, I'm very good at catchy tunes, and really, perhaps in another life, I would have gone off and been Steps, or I don't know what the Australian equivalent would be. But I do write very catchy songs, and when we're working on them, I'll go darker, darker, darker. Let's change that into diminished chord. I would be more Coldplay than Steps. I would be more just trying to get the greatest essence of something that's come from inside me. We do work at it a little bit to pull that out, instead of going for the obvious thing, the obvious bass line, the obvious guitar part. Just to just get the most, squeeze the most out of it.
Mm. And you mentioned in your notes Burley Chassis, Shirley Bassey.
There's stuff of hers. I mean, I'm not into like big kind of... I'm into really big singing, of course, and I love her voice, but I like her voice doing more contemporary stuff. Like one of my favourite things, I should have put that on my list, is The Rhythm Divine, which is the most amazing song by Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of huge singing, but done in a very contemporary fashion, like Dusty doing West End, like Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
That mixing that sort of stuff with such an amazing voice. Yeah. And very recently, a couple of weeks ago, someone who's a big Shirley Bassey fan said, "Have you seen her perform at the Variety Awards in London, which was shown in television at the BBC in UK?" It would have been the 80s, and her daughter had committed suicide and was pulled from the Thames, and there was Shirley Bassey like a week or so afterwards singing.
Gee.
"My Life, This Is My Life." Oh my God. That was just...
What a professional.
Mind-blowing. And, well, actually, if you listen to the song, the words of the song, it's very much like, I have to go on with this. This is my life and I have to go on with it. And regardless of anything that's happened to me, I have to keep singing.
The show must go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's done a great job of reinventing herself, though, hasn't she? I mean, you know, get the party started, and she's just amazing.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, because you could just continually go up that path of doing standards, etc. But I think that's possibly why she's still doing stuff.
Yeah. Because you heard the great story, didn't you, about she went to Glastonbury and it was absolutely pouring with rain, because it always does at Glastonbury. This is a big, big music festival in the UK. And so she had on wellies, which had her logo on them in diamonds. And so she does a show. She's in and out in a helicopter. They tried to get back her back to London in the helicopter. Helicopter gets grounded because it's just too unsafe to fly. And she lands up having a cup of tea around the table in some farmhouse. And the farmer and his wife's going, "Now, who are you again?" Poor thing.
I think that's the kind of story that's good for her, because there are lots of other stories which aren't quite so pleasant.
Yeah,
being a diva. Again, though, I imagine if you are that kind of untouchable place, then how would you ever have your feet in the ground, I guess?
Even in wellies.
Grace, you with my presence today, but you know, hey.
Oh, look, we're privileged.
Shirley's coming in next week, don't worry.
I would love that. I'd love that.
So, Horst, you've mentioned that Joan Armour Trading was one of the great artists who influenced you hugely in the 70s and 80s. So, we're going to play a track. So, what does this mean to you, this track?
Love and Affection is probably one of the best singer-songwriter tracks that's probably ever been written in the last sort of 25 years.
Here's Joan Armour Trading and Love and Affection.
And you're on Joy 94.9, and this is Spirit Lounge, and you're with Andrew and Joy. That's the Poof and the Priest.
Where's Sue? Where's Sue?
Who?
Where's she gone? Bertie. She's disappeared.
Never heard of her. Peter found his thingamy button, and we got a message from him.
I think the thingamy button is the button which you were trying to describe on the iPhone app.
Thingamy button describes it quite well. Now, Sonia, the track for her is Ramona by Beck. And Peter, if you're listening still, if you want to enter our competition, you need to send us a song and the artist so that we can put you in the draw for the DVD by Horse.
And anyone else who wants to go into that draw should text in a song that they find meaningful. 0427-JOY-949 is the number, or you can call the front desk, 1300-JOY-949, or email straight to the studio, onair@joy.org.au.
Or the thingamy button.
Or you can press the thingamy button in your iPhone app.
We're going to continue with the interview with Horse McDonald. Do you write all your own songs?
Yes.
So do you ever sing other people's, what other people have
written? I have covered songs, but only kind of songs that really I enjoy. There's only a handful. Close My Eyes and Count to Ten, Dusty. Mm-hmm. That was a B-side on our first single, You Could Be Forgiven. And I got close to meeting Dusty Springfield, which I would love to have met her. Vicky Wickham, her manager, was always in at EMI where we were. And Murray Chalmers, my PR guy at EMI, he actually used to have to take Dusty shopping. She wanted him to take her shopping. And the stories about him having to go out of the limousine into Harrods with Dusty, because she was a bit nervous on her own. But Vicky Wickham had come in, and Murray said, "Oh, have you heard this? Let Dusty hear this." And he handed her my single, You Could Be Forgiven, because it's got I Close My Eyes and Count to Ten in it. So I knew nothing of this, and I came in, and she'd gone away and got it signed by Dusty Springfield. So somewhere in my collection is her signature, which I haven't found recently. I was like, where is that? But But then even talking to somebody like Vicky Wickham, who managed Dusty Springfield, she has been through many, many amazing things. She was part of a 60s, famous 60s pop show called Ready, Steady, Go.
Oh, yeah.
She was the producer on it. Of course, she was Dusty Springfield's partner. And I love LaBelle. And, of course, one of LaBelle was Nona Hendricks, who was also Vicky Wickham's partner.
Oh.
And after Dusty died, I called Vicky in New York and I said, oh, I'm doing somebody asked me to do a show about Dusty Springfield. So I said, well, why not ask Vicky Wickham? She's the very person. And I'd never called her before, but I called her. Had a really nice chat. And I very stupidly said to her, I didn't know, but I very stupidly said to her, oh, yeah, yeah. She said something about influences. And I said, oh, God, LaBelle. But, oh, God, Nona Hendricks. I said, but you won't have heard her. She went, yeah, I have heard of her. She's my partner. And I was like, she would you like to work with Nona? And I was like, yeah, would actually. But that never came to fruition, unfortunately. But but amazing.
Now, by the 1990s, you were really established, certainly in the UK and parts of Europe, and you were touring. I have to ask you this question, okay? You were touring with Tina Turner.
I know what you're going to ask.
And I have to, because I am Tina Turner's number one fan on the planet. What is she like?
Oh, well, I wish I could tell you.
Did you never meet her?
No, this is always the question that people ask me, and I feel so stupid, because I really am very down to earth, and I'm just like every other fan out there. Before the show, after the show, I'd maybe just wander around the corridors and just on the off chance I was going to bump into her. No, I didn't bump into her. We were allowed to stand on stage, side stage by the monitor system to watch, which was amazing, actually. Yeah. We got to know the band really well, etc. We were in the States at one point and one of the journalists said to myself, Angela and George, hey, you guys, did you get to meet Tina? And I was just about to go, no. And they went, yeah, yeah, a couple of times. I was like, what? What? She came into the dressing room a couple of times to chat to the band. And I was like, no, no. So it's one of my biggest regrets, actually, not having met her.
But so did you break through that really tough place called the States?
No. There were various occasions where we were supposed to be going out and doing stuff, and the record company, there was a fight between the British end, the UK end and the American end, and the Germans. I don't mean that about the Germans. I didn't mean it that way. What I meant was, we were working in Germany. It was going really, really well. We had a couple of tracks in the charts. And the Germans were going, you stay here. You have big hits. It's going to go big. And the Americans were going, no, we want you across here in America. And there was this fight between, there's always these things going. And we were brought back to the UK ready to fly out to the States. And the Gulf War happened. And at that point, no one flew anywhere. We didn't get flown over. And the momentum just came to a halt.
What a shame.
Our instincts were to stay in Germany because it was going so well. And we really enjoyed it. Mm. The Germans really liked us.
It's all down to timing sometimes, isn't it?
But again, I keep going back to the spirituality bit because it seems to me that I've run a kind of parallel path or course with the music industry. And it feels to me like I was meant to keep doing this. Because I think if things had gone well, I would still be working with those same people, or I wouldn't be, rather. The chemistry would have, there were already arguments, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if it had gone big, would I still be sitting here now talking to you or writing songs or performing? Possibly not. And I enjoy the control and I enjoy the creation that I do myself.
Mm. So how hard is it as a gay woman to actually make it in the music business, honestly?
Well, if I'm perfectly honest, I would say I haven't made it. And I would actually say that being out has single-handedly destroyed my commercial career. Around about the time we did Same Sky, first album, You Could Be Forgiven, when You Could Be Forgiven came out, the press were really, really interested. I was very androgynous looking.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no one else like that around. There was Annie Lennox starting to play with that imagery. Annie Lennox could walk away from that. But for me, I am that person. And she was a kind of feminine sort of almost theatrical androgynous image, whereas I was just me with my box suit on and my tie, you know. And the record company didn't know what to do with me. They were actively trying to find ways of plugging things. And then KD Lang came along and it was like, bang, okay, controversy, fine, we'll have you. Very much a sort of scenario of, well, we've got one of you, we don't need any more. Record company, it's almost like they like to have one of something. If you look at your X Factor situation, you know, they will try and, oh, okay, make that person like this, then it's all going to work. We have one success with this, like Adele, I imagine right now, record label signing solo singer-songwriters, let's have another Adele. It's that sort of scenario. So Katie Lang got there first. One of my favourite quotes is about me as Katie Lang before Katie Lang was. So you're I'm not bitter. I am hungrier than ever now to keep doing what I'm doing. The rewards I've had are unbelievable. And again, I keep coming back to spirituality. The thing that fires me up is hearing how much the music has meant to someone. And we're talking about really personal stories, people's personal stories. And I feel like I have a responsibility. And I know of various stories about my music really touching people. And it really stops me in my tracks and thinks, well, I've been given a gift, and without being extremely religious, I've been given a gift and I'm handing something out to someone, and it's touched people.
Are you able to share one of those stories?
Well, I suppose I can, because I don't need to name any names, do I? So I suppose the one that touched me most was a fan kind of Facebook messaging, or, you know, you can chat on Facebook. And myself and the band were coming back from a show, and we were kind of like on a high, and you check your Facebook messages when you're travelling back, and there was a succession of messages coming from this one woman. I'm going, what's this about? And it's like, she said, oh, sorry, I'm drunk. And I was like, oh, gone, here we go. And I went on and on. Oh, I'm really feeling this, this is happening, I'm feeling that. And then she came to the kind of nub of the whole thing, and she said, my best friend's daughter is in palliative care, she's 10. She's just said to me tonight, she's only got 2 weeks to live. She's just said to me tonight she wants Heaven Can Wait played at a funeral. Well, that was Gemma and I. And I text her back, is there anything I can do? And she said, no, you've already done it. Yeah. And I think when you hear a story like that, you think, wow, in my whole lifetime I've done something, or something's come from me that is so meaningful and so huge and beyond me as a human being that... I just feel like I'm just sharing stuff.
That's beautiful. So you're playing in Melbourne this Friday, the 24th of February, at
Thornbury Theatre.
Great. Now, for those of you listening, it is thethornburytheatre.com. There are a few tickets still left. And if you haven't seen Horse Live before and you love live entertainment, then buy a ticket and come along.
Have you let your Joy membership lapse? I would hope not. Or maybe you haven't become a member. Joy 94.9 is Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, working to break down isolation and celebrate the achievements of the amazing community that we are. Presenting radio isn't cheap, so we need your support. Become a Joy member today, and not only will you assist in providing a voice for the diverse gay and lesbian community, you'll have the chance to win great prizes too. It's not a night out with you, is it, Mr. Poof?
Yes, I am a prize. No.
Our second prize is two nights out.
And third prize.
Seejoy.org.au for more on becoming a member, or call the gorgeous Jerry on 1300-JOY-949. He's waiting for your call right now and will help you to sign up by phone. So that's 1300-569-949. And if you want to enter our competition, you need to send us the name of a track that speaks to your spirit with who sings it, and you can ring Jerry and tell him that too on 1300-JOY-949. And our next track now is going to be another one by Horse, and this is called You Could Be Forgiven. And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Poof and the Priest. And we received a message from Nicholas, and he said, thank you. Haven't heard that Joan song in years. Brought back great forgotten memories. One of the best vocal songs ever. Thanks for sharing. And he's about to find it on iTunes. So thank you for that message. Peter also entered the competition, and the song that he selected is Blackbird. So we'll be playing that in the next few weeks, and you'll go in the draw to win that Horse DVD next week. And if you want to enter too, don't forget to think about a song in the next week that really speaks to your spirit. And next week, if you send us the name of that song and the artist, and you can go in the draw. And don't forget that Horse is in concert this coming Friday, and you'll be able to see the Priest of the Pom and the Poof. We'll all be there in our Joy t-shirts.
Here's an idea. You could enter the competition by coming and finding us at the concert and telling us there.
Oh, could they bring a piece of paper? Because yes. I will forget.
And bring your own pen, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'll never remember. So
you could write it down in your phone, you know, you could do all sorts of things.
All this technology, it's just, I just say the thingy button and then I'm right.
Well, come and tell me your favourite.
Yeah, exactly. You're younger. So the Thornbury Theatre, and you can look at their website if you want to get tickets, or you might be able to just get them at the door. And next week we're going to have part two of our interview with Horse, and now you need to stay tuned for Sci-Fi and Scream. And so we're going to play another Horse song called Never Not Going To, and it is Goodbye from Joy the Priest
and Andrew the Poof. We'll see you again next week.
Good night.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.